Welcome to Joy of Business Radio, hosted by Joy of Business facilitators from around the world, with special shows from Simone Millicis, the founder and creator of Joy of Business. Are you bored or dissatisfied with your work or business? Joy of Business is an invitation to a completely new way of creating. Did you know your business and job can actually be fun and joyful? If what you are currently doing isn't working for you, listen into this show full of pragmatic tools from Access Consciousness, which change everything in business, from money to finance, staff, creativity, productivity, communication, and beyond. Joy of Business Radio, weekly on Om Times Radio.
Hello and welcome to Joy of Business on Om Times Radio. I am your Joy of Business facilitator host today, Maggie Emerson. And today I have one of my dear friends with me, Dr. Nicola. And before I officially introduce her, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about with you, because part of the reason I brought her on here with us today is because she has a brilliance at really inviting everybody to nurture and nourish themselves. So our conversation with regards to business today is putting the you back in your business. Are you treating yourself as a valuable asset in your business? And what is required to create a space of nourishment and joy for you so that you can have the joy of business in each moment? And Nicola is, she's a naturopath, she is a mama, she's an adventurer, and really has, like I said, a beautiful, beautiful way of inviting people to take care of themselves that opens up doorways and possibilities. So welcome, Nicola.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. I'm excited you're here. And so I actually, I am like, where do we begin with this? I just want to know, and I don't even think I know this about you yet, but what do you have specific practices daily, weekly, monthly that you do to keep you in your life?
Ooh, that's such a great question. You know what? Yes, and it ebbs and flows. And over the past, I'd say, year or so, my daily self-care has gotten a lot more spacious. And what I mean by that is I used to be, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, this is what I do to exercise and take care of myself. And Tuesday, Thursday nights, this is what I do. And Sunday morning, I always go to yoga. And while that was lovely and nourishing and nurturing in a lot of ways, that's not the space that I live in anymore, where a structure and a schedule is often the most nurturing possibility. And so what I've actually moved more into is, what do I want to do right now? So typically Monday mornings, I like to go to a Mia dance class. And this morning, obviously Monday morning, I really just checked in with myself and I said, you know what? No, I really want to be outside and I really want to be with my dogs. And I kind of want to be quieter than being in a space with other people and with music. And so giving myself permission to change up that routine, I still wanted to move my body. I still wanted to, you know, exercise and take care of myself in that way. But again, to set awareness around what would really most serve me today, as opposed to this is just what I do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. So what do you do? What do you do? Because so the listeners don't know, but Nicola runs this amazing co-op in Durango, Colorado, where we both live, that has various different practitioners and lots of people in the door. It's a very busy practice. And so how do you create that space for yourself when it gets crazy?
Yeah, and this has definitely been a huge learning curve, because I think most of us do a pretty good job of taking care of ourselves day to day. And it's when life gets hard or stressful. Right now we're coming up into the holiday seasons and, you know, I'm like, how are you doing? Are you taking care of yourself? They're like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm not even going to think about that until January. And unfortunately, those times are when we need that self-care more than ever. And so this is kind of what I wanted to, part of the reason I was really excited about being on this radio show with you today is this idea of putting, like, reclaiming the word self-centered, because I think that it's got so many negative connotations, especially for women. We were brought up with that paradigm of be a good girl, don't rock the boat, you know, do what everybody, be a people pleaser. You know, it's how a lot of us got loved and valued when we were little. And so we consider others first, and sometimes only. And so we will often sacrifice our own needs to create, you know, what we think will create more. But in reality, when we slow down and we take care of ourselves, that is the key and the essence to creating harmony among other people.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, reclaiming the word self-centered.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
If you're firmly at the center of yourself, of your own being, you are only going to choose that which creates more. And so you, by choosing yourself, so for me, rather than being obligated to a girlfriend because I told her I was going to go to dance this morning, when I choose me and go for a walk, then that created all this opportunity for me to actually take care of a few things that I wanted to take care of and then connect with a friend of mine. And I didn't realize that I'd really been, you know, just wanting to hear her voice. And I ended up giving her a call while I was out on my walk, and it created so much more. And by the time I got back from my walk, I've got a 7-year-old. And so sometimes getting out the door to school in the morning can be a little bit stressful, especially between my partner and myself, because sometimes we have different points of view around parenting. but taking that walk, I was actually able to come home in a totally different headspace and have a really different true dialogue and conversation with him around what unfolded the last 10 minutes before my son got out the door to get to school. Had I not taken that walk, I would have either A, blown off this opportunity for a conversation, or B, been more short on time, more, you know, just point of view oriented around like, this wasn't right, or this is why where I think you went wrong this morning, which is always a fantastic way to start a conversation with a partner. So it was great to have taken that space. And then I didn't even occur to me, this whole thing between my partner and I, which wasn't that big of a deal, though it ended up being this really beautiful, lovely true conversation this morning, where he shared something a lot deeper with me around his point of view around parenting. And that facilitated so much more understanding for me around his perspective. And again, all of that came out of taking a walk as opposed to going to my regularly scheduled class. So we don't know what these choices will create, and that's what's so cool about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. But I love how, too, you have this beautiful way of being able to, like, come to conversations with so much space. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, but it's because I take space first, right? Because if I'm showing up for a conversation and I'm really contracted, you know, or I'm in my story around what is going on, then there's no space. There's no space for the other person. There's no space for conversation. And so how can we take that space first and then bring that spaciousness into our relationship, into our workplace? You know, how many times have any of you who are listening come into your place of work, wherever that might be, and get bombarded before you've even gotten your coat off, you know, and like, we need this, or so-and-so called, or do you know what happened with X, Y, and Z, or where are you at with this email, or, you know, that sort of stuff, and how contracting and energetically overwhelming that can feel. And so this was a practice I started many, many years ago when I worked in a more corporate environment where the demands and the pressures were very, very high. And I just said, if I have my coat or my bag on me, do not talk to me unless you're saying hello, good morning. Mm-hmm. And even then, mm-hmm. I don't want to get into a conversation of how my weekend was until I've had, you know, 3-4 minutes to just settle. And then when I take that time, I'm able to realize, wow, having a hectic morning, getting my son out the door has actually impacted my headspace that I'm now bringing to work. And so rather than work becoming burdensome, I'm able to take care of myself and then clear that energetic or emotional plate and then come back and be like, okay, what's going to be fun at work today?
Uh-huh. I love that. And I love that question. What's going to be fun at work today? That's awesome. And I have so many questions for you. It's so funny. We spend a lot of time together. And we're like, oh, what else can I learn from her today? the thing I would love to know, too, and for people who are listening who may not feel like they have this space to, you know, take the walk or the space to give themselves space, what would you say to them?
I would start by asking yourself, of course, is this true? Whose opinion, whose point of view is that? Where, you know, I don't have permission in my work environment to take a walk. And, you know, has it actually been spoken in the company? Maybe it has. Is that being modeled by the supervisors or the management team? Maybe it is. Or maybe that's just something that you've learned along the way, that where you get praised or that sort of thing for, you know, going the extra mile or working through lunch or that sort of stuff. But more and more and more, especially now in the age of worksite wellness and the stunning research around return on investment when corporations are actually creating worksite wellness programs for small businesses, and by small business it means 500 employees or less, there's over $2 of a return on investment for every dollar invested in a wellness program. When you get into larger corporations, it goes up to $350 or $375 that you get back for every dollar invested. So we're talking huge financial gains for investing in the wellness of your employees. And I think more and more work sites are starting to come to realize that it's not just a feel-good, touchy-feely thing to have a worksite wellness, that's another positive aspect of it, but there's actual real monetary gains because the people that work for you are more efficient, they're more productive, they're more collaborative and team building. And the other thing is that people forget is that they end up staying because they want to stay in this work environment. And it can cost us up to 40% of an annual salary to hire and train somebody new. And that's a lot of money.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll get more into this after our break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face.
Someone being bullied online, you can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back to Joy of Business Radio on Om Times. I'm here with Dr. Nicola, and we were just talking about corporate wellness, and Dr. Nicola has like a wealth of information of what that creates by inviting wellness into your employees. And we left off kind of on a little tangent, as we do,
And Dr. Nicola, I'm just wondering what I'm like, she's one of my best friends, and I just don't always call her Dr. Nicola. It's a new sensation for me.
That's okay.
Is there anything else you have to say along those lines of employee wellness and the invitation to really look at, like, if you have like one employee, one contract worker to hundreds, thousands of employees, like what can be created if you invite or have your employees actually look at how they can take care of themselves?
I think the possibilities are endless. I really, really do. There's a phenomenon happening with all the busyness and the multitasking, and we can talk a little bit more about multitasking in a minute if you want, but incredibly long story short, it's a myth. You know, multitasking isn't actually, not only is it not more efficient, but it's actually costing us up to 40% of our revenue annually, which is wild because we make so many mistakes and things like that. But anyway, so I think if you are empowering people to find out what we're good at, and rather than what job do I need to do, so let me try to fit this person into what I need them to do, one of the strongest skills that I see in corporate leadership are leaders that can look at their employees and identify what they're actually good at, and then shift them around in the company to actually match the job to the person rather than the other way around. Because I think that's where we get really down on ourselves for example, when I was working at the other job, a big part of my job was managing people. And it was really hard on my ego to find out that I'm really not good at managing people. I don't know why I thought I should be good at it, but I really thought that I should be quite good at managing people. And the reality of it is it's not my forte. I get frustrated. My communication probably wasn't as effective as it is now, but I had never learned that. And I actually identified that to my supervisor three years in a row in my annual review. And I specifically asked for managerial training and was never given that. And I ended up leaving that company in a really sour place, partially because I felt like I had been, you know, we do these annual reviews where you're asked to self-assess and all this stuff. And I was really genuinely honest, and I felt really unsupported by that organization in that, listen, this is something that I'm struggling with. This is probably where you're getting complaints about me, and I need to get better at it. And it's interesting to tell you this story now, because as I'm realizing it, I think rather than saying I need to get better at it and I need more training in this, I would say I need to be taken out of this position and do something that I'm naturally better at, right? But that's a very common mentality of, if I'm not naturally skilled in a certain area, then I need to push myself to be better at this. The other thing that I would offer around corporate wellness and helping your employees or yourself figure out whether or not it's a good fit is that just because you can doesn't mean you should. So again, I was capable of managing people. I am capable of doing my books for my practice now, but it doesn't mean that I should. For me, it's a complete drain on my energy to sit down and do accounting work. I can do it. I'm smart enough. I'm capable enough, and I have enough resources in my community to ask for help when I get stuck. But it really doesn't bring more into what I can offer. And so if I can hire somebody who loves numbers and is really good at it and really passionate about it, then we're both in our passion doing what we can do, and I'm supporting her in her business and she's supporting me in my business, and we're both growing from that. And so I think it's being really honest around, you know, what turns me on? What makes me sing? What makes me feel lucky to get, you know, do you ever say that with something about work and you're like, wow, I got to do this and get paid for it. That was so great. Or I have this one part of my job that I get to do that I just love. And so it's finding that and then, you know, asking the why. Well, what is it about that that you love so much? And that's what's helped me realize that I love teaching, and it's really expanding, you know, what I offer, you know, in my community and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
I love that.
So and, getting out of the you're supposed to.
Yeah, and so here's actually, I'm like, you know me in multitasking. and I actually, like, with that, like, because, and I actually would love to have a conversation about that, because for me, on one hand, there's a level of multitasking that I can do that does create more from what I've seen, and then there's an extreme that I will go to that is actually just killing time. So talk to me about what you know in your experience with multitasking.
Yes, absolutely. So the research that's coming out around multitasking is that it's actually completely ineffective. And so I'll offer this to anybody who's listening, and if you have a spare moment or two, you could actually do it, because I don't want to take the time now. But what I want you to do is write out, I am a good multitasker. And then I want you to write out the numbers 1 through 20 and time yourself and see if you make any mistakes. And then what I want you to do is write the same two sentences, but I want you to multitask. I want you to write I1, A2, M3 and go from there, writing out, I am a good multitasker, but interposing it with doing the numbers 1 through 20 and see what happens. Because what's going on is that our brain is actually using a tremendous amount of energy switching between two different tasks, in this case, spelling and counting. And it costs us a lot more than we realize. And then we end up not completely finishing a task more often than not, or let's say we finish a piece of it, but we don't follow it through to the end. And so there's this, whenever I teach stress management and performance optimization for corporations, I talk about how many windows do you all have open on your computer at once, and I have people raise their hand if they got one window open, and that's like nobody, and then we get to like 4, 5, and 6 windows, and then, you have the people raising their hands and laughing like, oh, I've got 3 screens, so I can have 8 windows open and see them all at the same time. And, some people, like accountants and bookkeepers, that's actually really a tool, but for most of us, it's simply distracting. And so, again, this is a tool and a gem that I've gotten from some of my executives that I've talked to, is that they, especially with something like email, they set times in their calendar every day where they open their emails, they go through their emails, they answer whatever emails are pertinent, and then they actually close it down completely. So you can't just check around this one thing or, ooh, I was supposed to email that one more person, because it takes that little bit of extra effort of rebooting the program to open it up again. That's going to get in the way of you just hopping back and forth between the task in hand and, say, something like sending an email. And so the idea, there's another acronym called OHIO, and that stands for only handle it once. On average, people are touching the same task 5 to 8 times before completing it. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
So this idea of, it is a lot, right? But think about what you've done already today. Which things did you only touch one time? And which things did you touch and then go touch something else and then come back and touch the first thing and then touch the third thing and then go back and touch the first thing again, right? It takes us a while to do that. I'm guilty of that with my email all the time, where I'm constantly bouncing back and forth and just looking something else or shooting another email out. And so this idea of, if I touch this, I'm going to see it through to completion. And chunking our time can be something that can be really, really helpful around managing yourself. And so taking 3 to 5 minutes at the beginning of your workday and just jotting down a few notes, what energetically is grabbing your attention? What has been hanging over your head that you just want to finish? What lights you up? What project do you have on tap that you're super excited to get started, and so it's kind of to help to make an important versus urgent, list for yourself. And it can be really helpful to guide as distractions happen throughout the day, which is generally for most of us inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
But having that short list helps. Go ahead.
I was gonna speak to the shortlist of having that shortlist. I'll do that at the beginning of the day. But I love how you phrase the questions. They're a little bit differently than we have in the Joy of Business tools. Where's my attention required today? But I love the two, that where's energetically, like, lighting me up, because there's something to be said about, you know, creating from the space of joy, doing business, taking care of a task from the space of joy and enthusiasm.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun to start your day doing something you were excited to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I giggle because sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I just have to get this done, to get it off my plate. And perhaps maybe from tomorrow on, I will start some of my days quite differently.
Yeah, what would be fun to do right now? And sometimes, honestly, it's fun just to get the one thing that's been looming off of your desk. It can feel really light. But more often than not, you know, we start with the drudgery and go downhill from there. And it's, you know, that stuff will get handled. And, you know, and that's something else I've been looking at, going back to my accounting. What are the things that you're putting off consistently? And maybe you should outsource those. Right. So this is going back to that principle, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I realized that, you know, keeping my books on a weekly basis is something I just don't want to be doing. But all small business owners would tell you, well, you really should be doing that. And that's something you should understand. And you should be touching into your finances every week. And I'm like, you know what I want? I want somebody else to be putting all those numbers in there. And then I want to be talking about what's creating revenue, what's working, what's not, what new things can we develop. Like, I'm an ideas girl. I don't really like the number piece of it. But I'm happy to have somebody else analyze the numbers and then understand and then explain it to me. That works really well for me. I don't need to be the one generating the report. I can still be touching into my financial picture without doing the part that makes me roll my eyes and procrastinate, honestly. Month after month.
Absolutely.
After month.
Yeah. I love that. It is so true. And it's like, how many times do we, like, with the whole putting you back in your business, how many times do we feel like the have-tos and the shoulds and coming, like, that reminder of the reclaiming self-centered and looking at, okay, what am I great at in business and what is fun for me? And looking at when you're procrastinating, you know, is it A, there's a couple of different things it could be. It could be A, like, it's just not fun for you, so hire it out. And B, the other thing I've noticed, and it's a fine line for me, is sometimes I procrastinate because there's an awareness, and not often. Yeah. And that can sometimes be an excuse. that I know of myself. It's like, and there have been times when I procrastinate and it something will show up and be like, oh great, it's like a good thing I didn't take care of that, because it would have been a whole bigger thing if I didn't. And so I wonder what questions we can invite the listeners after this break to ask about when they're procrastinating. We'll see you on the flip side.
Yes.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Or not.
M2.
Or not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hello there. This is Maggie Emerson, and you are listening to the Joy of Business radio show on Times Radio. And I'm here with Dr. Nicola. We are both from Durango, Colorado, and we're talking about putting the you back in your business. And just before the break, we were talking about procrastination. And I was talking about the fine line between procrastination and having an awareness to wait. And so I wonder, Nicola, what questions, what kind of curiosity can we invite listeners to be with when they're procrastinating?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is an acceptance of, you know, that there isn't a flow right now. And so I trust that then, and I'm going to follow the energy, right? I think we put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves to get this done because we're supposed to get this done. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in that sort of energy, I will often sit at my desk like a good girl should and with my computer open, and I'm at my office, and I end up answering emails, going on Facebook, maybe a little online shopping, and I can absolutely dilly-dally away 3 hours without even thinking about it. And I still haven't done whatever it was that I was supposed to do. And I didn't do whatever it was that I wanted to do, be that meet up with a friend or, you know, go outside for a hike or whatever else I could have been doing with that time. So I think when we, you know, you bring up a good point, when we push ourselves to do something that we quote unquote should be doing, that's not necessarily not procrastinating. it's mm-hmm. an old point of view, right, that doesn't necessarily serve us anymore. Mm-hmm. When we are, and maybe a few days go by, and, you know, like, and I'll use the same example of, you know, the accounting and bookkeeping on my end. It's taken me many, many months to come to this realization, but I keep on making up excuses for why I'm just not tending to this stuff. And at first, my excuse was that I didn't have the money to pay a bookkeeper to do it. I will just do it myself. But the reality of it is, especially the past 2 years, is that I have paid a bookkeeper infinitely more money to fix my books and take care of things very last minute, because all of a sudden income tax is due or sales tax is due or I need something and I needed it yesterday. And so I'm paying her to do a lot more work than she would have done had she just been doing it from the get-go. And she happens to charge $30 less an hour if she's doing something regularly than if you're doing piecemeal work. If we make up myths, and we often use money like, well, I can't afford it, or how could I possibly afford it? That's so luxurious to have somebody else doing X, Y, and Z. The same thing happened to me when I first started this practice here in Durango, and I was, you know, humming and hawing about hiring an office manager and somebody to manage, you know, the office and the reception and do some of these other tasks. And I can't tell you how much more that created to hire somebody. And I started small at 10 hours a week and have grown from there. But it's interesting bringing new practitioners into our cooperative who haven't had an administrative support before, and try to explain the value of it to them. And most of the time they really undervalue it until they've been having it for a few months. And then they're like, oh my God, I had no idea how much I was doing, because we get into this thing of like, I can and therefore I should. So sometimes when we're procrastinating, especially the same thing, then we should look at, well, what's underneath that? Why am I putting this off? You know, and I had all sorts of judgments and stories around this accounting stuff that I was putting off. And at this point, I've just said, I'm not exactly sure why I'm putting off, other than I don't really like it. It's boring. It makes my shoulders crampy. I make mistakes. I don't like making mistakes. And somebody else is better at it than I am. And I think that was probably the ego rub that I was avoiding for a long time, just because I'm supposed to be really good at a lot of things.
aren't we all?
But once I could get off that, right? Yeah, like, oh, I'm supposed to have this all sussed out. And it's like, but why? You know, I mean, everybody's supposed to know what to eat, but they don't. They come and pay me to help them with their diets. I mean, it's, you know, we all have gifts and talents that we can bring. And if we can get off that ego trip around, I'm supposed to be better at this, or I don't want to admit that this is hard for me because it shouldn't be for whatever reason we're making up, then we can get onto what's underneath the procrastination and make a game plan. And again, I think I would have been in a place of judgment around hiring out to have someone to do my books in a different point in my life. But now I'm like, oh, good for you. You had such a strong awareness that you're not doing these and you don't want to be doing these. And so you're going to resource them out. And I'm going to make more from that, from using my time in a more creative way.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And
yeah,
actually,
that goes back to putting the you back in it, right? Who are
exactly,
you in this world? How do you want to show up?
Yeah, because the other piece is, like, what I find, and what, like, just listening to you, like, it had to get to a certain degree of procrastination to go, okay, I'm going to let my ego go, and I'm going to let someone else who's actually better than me, and I'm going to admit that someone's better than me. What else is possible, and what could be shared around, and I'm still discovering this, as to not letting it, like, not having the idea that things have to get really bad or worse before you can just choose something different.
Well, and I think that's where we go back to this idea of being self-centered, right? Putting the you back in your business. And, you know, why do we have to suffer, you know, painfully and extraordinarily before we realize we have to make a change? And the truth of the matter is that we don't. And I honestly think that that's where, you know, in the past few weeks, I've come to the realization of, like, wait a minute, I love me. And I'm really good at what I do when I'm doing my passion. And therefore, I'm able to drop those judgments around, you know, well, I should be doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I'm just going to hire this out. And that's going to be okay. But I think it's coming back to ourselves so often and listening to the stories we're telling ourselves, asking ourselves if they're true, questioning the validity of those stories. And maybe they're stories we're making up about ourselves, or maybe they're stories that we were told growing up, or that we've been told all our lives that things are just going to be like this. And, you know, maybe it's overt or maybe it's more subtle. But we have to really look at those stories and just, again, create a lot of space around them and acceptance for what it is. And then that awareness oftentimes allows those old memories, those old emotions to simply release from the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
But I do think it's about coming back to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
sorry,
no, I'm just looking at, you kind of melted my world right there. Thank you. that piece. So in, like, with the Joy of Business and stuff, we do a lot of, like, clearing and using the clearing statement. And I know you've taken the Joy of Business class yourself. And what else, like, can you offer? And I think we're close to a break, but let's keep going until we are there. But,
okay.
I'm like, I'm trying to lead you somewhere, but I'm going to not do that. I'm just going to ask a question. What else do you practice to get yourself into that, like, even more spaciousness of the, like, I love me, right? Because that's been a journey for me. And I still know for myself, I know I go into moments and days of massive judgment of myself. And I do know underneath all of it, I adore my, like, I'm really fun to be around. I spend a lot of time by myself. And what would you suggest to the people listening as if they aren't in the space of I love me and they're like, well, is it even possible? What do you suggest for them to play with, practice? Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like if we can start separating the voices and actually identify them as different parts or aspects of ourselves. So there's a part of me that's curious about loving myself, and there's a part of me who does not love me, and there's a part of me that stands in a lot of judgment around me, and there's a part of me that's really scared of these neurotic, you know, aspects of us. And guess what? We're all human. When I'm sitting with my patients in my office and we touch into a tender spot, I can't tell you how many times somebody says it's like you are inside of my head. And I said, right, but it's not because I'm so amazing and psychic, because I'm not psychic really. But it's because you're human, and this is a shared human experience that we keep to ourselves. And so if we can acknowledge all the imperfections and all the places and parts of ourselves that we work really hard to keep hidden, and just start with ourselves around being in a more accepting place. And so when I do this visualization with the folks I'm working with and myself, the first thing I do is call in the part of us that is compassionate and loving and kind, that part that can listen without judgment, that can love without condition, and call her or him forward and into the space, and let that part of you hear the rest of the story. Because even the part of us that is nasty and critical and judgy and just can be so incredibly harsh, he or she is oftentimes, or you know, in my experience talking with folks, protecting. And it sounds so counterintuitive that the critical part is actually the protective part, but the critical part is trying to protect us from getting less than we deserve, or not reaching our potential, or missing an opportunity. But it's driving us in a really negative sort of way. But the intention of all of these parts generally are in our best interest. And so if we can listen and ask, hey, critical part, what's your intention here? What's the end game? You know, telling me that I'm a bad person for not doing my own books. You know, you're a slacker and you're this and you're that. Like, what is the point here? And, you know, the conversation with myself was like, well, I want you to freaking do it. You're blowing it up. And if you're not going to do it, then somebody needs to be doing it. And there was a catch, right? Is that there was another part of me that's like, this is not my heart calling. This is not what I want to be doing. And the judgy part was like, well, you need to be doing it. And then all of a sudden that my higher self was like, or I could just ask somebody else to do it for me every single month and still stay involved with my finances. Because I don't know about you, but in small businesses, especially medical practices, you hear horror stories about bookkeepers and office managers who have been stealing money and making off with tens of thousands, and you never want to give your books over to somebody else. So I had all these stories and points of view loaded on me, but it wasn't until I stopped to actually listen to the critic that I got any insight around it. And I don't mean listen, like internalize that I'm, you know, a crappy business person because I don't want to do my own book. But I mean, you know, because I think it's easy to listen to that part, and that's often what drives us. But I mean really deeply listen around, what are you truly trying to say to me, and how can I respond differently?
Cool. And we'll finish that up after the break.
Great. Sounds good.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, and welcome back to the Joy Business Show on Times Radio. This is Maggie Emerson, and I'm here with Dr. Nicola, and we're talking about putting the you back in your business. And before we jump back into the conversation we're having, I just wanted to let everyone know there is a Joy of Business book club happening weekly right now, and it's complimentary. You get to play with some of the Joy of Business facilitators weekly. So pretty much for the whole adventure of this book club is you'll probably meet all of the amazing Joy Business facilitators. And so if you want to get any of the replays, we are heading into this week will be chapter nine. Last week was about targets and goals and just some wonderful things coming up through these conversations. So if you want the replays and or you'd like to join some of the future live conversations, the website is accessjoyofbusiness.com/book club. So, Dr. Nicola, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. I could be on you all day.
I'm so grateful for this conversation. And is there anything else you wanted to add to what you were saying just before the break?
I think if we can. I often ask people, especially parents, you know, think about when your child is frightened or upset. How do you show up for them? And then what would happen when you were feeling frightened or worried or anxious about something if you showed up for yourself in that same energy of complete spaciousness, complete acceptance, and just wanting to be there? And I think a lot of times where parents and kiddos get into a tough place with each other is when the parents, rather than listening and nodding and saying, wow, that sounds like a hard day, or, you know, it's like, well, have you tried that? Or did you talk to your teacher about X, Y, and Z? And it's like, well, what's problem solving can we jump into? Which is beautiful and well-intended and lovely and all that. But if you've ever had a bad day and you've called a friend up and they were like, well, did you talk to your boss about it? And da, 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 da. And you were like, shut up. I just want you to listen to me about my bad day. We start realizing how ineffective it is to jump right into problem solving. That said, there's a time and a place for problem solving and the intellect and the lift and all that sort of stuff. But if we can tend to the emotional piece that's driving all of these choices and decisions, then we have infinitely more opportunity and resource to choose from a heart-centered place.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you. And I think this is a great time to let people know, like, where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have a lot of patients that I work with long distance, so I do Skype and phone. So if you want to find out more, you can check out, I've got a website, which is either Dr. Nicola, D-O-C-D-O-R, N-I-C-O-L-A.com or puravidahealthcare.com, and that's P-U-R-A-V-I-D-A. Or you can give us a call, 970-426-1684. And then I have a pretty active Facebook presence. So if you, and I do quick, you know, minute or two videos. But so nice little reminders just to have us come home to ourselves, and all of that's free and without obligation. So if you're interested in, if anything that I've said has lit you up and you could use some reminders like I can most days, I'd be happy to be a resource. Beautiful. And then with that, too, I just want people to, you and I have a couple of things coming up together that really, like, one is about joy, one is about adventure, and that's what the joy business is and the adventure living. And you also have, because this just fits to our conversation, too, and I want you to share, like, can you share it all, please, about putting the you back in your business?
Yeah.
You have a deepening commitment retreat as well, that's the closest one.
Yes.
So do you want to give everyone a quickie taster? So
yes.
And just so everybody knows, it's, you can find all that information at drnicola.com, and you do your thing. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, really, I find that retreats, be it a weekend retreat or like the week-long ones that you and I are going to do in Fiji. That's right. Fiji. Talk about putting the you back in your business. We're taking our business to Fiji because we can, and that's creating a lot of joy for us, and that joy is inherently going to touch every single person who comes in the retreat. And so that's, I love retreats because I feel like stepping out of that day-to-day grind, stepping out of our routines, and really having a time and a space just to reflect on who am I and who do I want to be in the world and how do I want to show up and where are the things that I can really take a few moments and acknowledge, like, wow, I've done a good job here, and what do I want to step more into? And I feel like going on retreat provides this really unique environment where we can really touch into some of these things that in the day-to-day living we often push away from because we don't have time or space or energy to really be with all that is, all that we are, all that I am. And so when we're on retreat, it's an invitation to ourselves to step more deeply into us. And sometimes that can feel scary because sometimes we don't like all of the parts of us. And retreat, especially the ones that you and I are doing in Fiji, you know, the first one, you know, whole life adventure, it's like, how can you take the juju and the juice of a great vacation and infuse that into your day-to-day life? And when I ask that question, people are like, well, that would be great, like as though it's this complete impossibility. And I'm like, no, that's what we're going to be talking about the entire retreat is, how do you take a vacation-like experience and create a life that infuses that same energy by putting you back at the center of your world? And then the second week that we're doing, I think that's the last week of March of 2018, you know, talking about finding and creating joy. And what, again, what lights us up and what gets in the way of us choosing that? And, you know, so deepening into ourselves again, because a lot of times it's one of the questions I have on my medical intake is, what brings you joy? And I can't tell you how many people just put a question mark. Like, I don't know. God, I have joy. Like, joy is something I haven't thought about since I was a kid. And there was that freedom and that joy. And so as adults, I feel like we don't give ourselves that same permission to do what creates joy. And so we're gonna really just have fun and be playful and be embodied. And we'll teach you how to communicate more directly with yourself. So those are the ones that are happening in Savu Savu, Fiji, which is fantastic and a beautiful, beautiful resort with its own organic gardens. And it's on the far side of the island, so it's pretty quiet. So it's a pretty idyllic spot to step out of the daily grind. And then more recently, the weekend after New Year's, I'm going to be in Ridgway, Colorado, which is up in the mountains, absolutely beautiful. And just talking about deepening commitment. So again, the same theme, but a little bit of a different twist around how do I, you know, we all make New Year's resolutions and after 3 or 4 weeks, they've been tossed out the window. So how do we continually choose you moment to moment to moment? And what commitments
do we want to actually deepen? And therefore, which ones are we going to actually let go of or maybe not prioritize in the same way? So, you know, playing around with all this. Mm-hmm. But the theme of all the retreats, and I think any retreat that any of us choose, should be, how do I put more of the me back into this? And realizing that the more we invest in ourselves, then the more we have to give, but giving from our overflow rather than from the dregs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Like, I'm in, as I already am.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank you so
get
much
for becoming the one in Ridgeway, too.
Yeah, I'm
so
pretty sure
to get you to become the one in Ridgeway, too.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful, always grateful for your awareness and your insight and your brilliance and your beautiful way of articulating what can seem like complex things and making them like simple and clear. So thank you.
Yeah. Really, my pleasure and my honor.
Any last words before the end of the show? Any last words you'd like to share? We're going to have to leave you.
Do what you love. Because life is short and it moves a lot faster than we think.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yeah. See you too. Be well.